Time to get our weekly view from the north. You can find his work for Comcast Sports Net, CSNNW.com online. Talking ball on Comcast Channel 737 in high def here in Eugene. Become a follower on Twitter. Use the handle at Aaron J. Fentress. Engage in sports and more than occasionally the issues of the day. Always look forward to welcoming in Aaron Fentress. Mr. Fentress, a good Thursday to you, sir. How's it going?
I'm doing well. How are you?
All right. What's going on?
Not much, man. That's a lie. Okay, I just dropped my son off at dance. Then he has a baseball game, and my daughter's sick at home, waiting for me to come back to spend some time with her because she's sick. She didn't want to drive to dance and baseball. So it's a zoo, and my wife's at work. So there you go. You asked a question, I answered it.
Well, the thing is, sports-wise, whatever, but in Fentress's life, a hell of a lot going on. All right.
It's a circus.
All right, so after Golden State beat Portland the other night, you hit Twitter with a couple of items where I'll tell you, I couldn't agree more. For some reason, people do what I like to call overjudge. Because as good as the Spurs are, Cleveland with the big three is tough. What is it that makes people suddenly think the Warriors are equally dangerous without Steph Curry?
I don't know. I just saw that as a topic on some talk shows, and I saw some people had written about it, and people were talking about it on Twitter. It's like, I mean, your value shouldn't be based on if the team completely falls apart without you.
Yeah.
If it doesn't, it doesn't mean you weren't valuable. It just means you had a really good team. You know, LeBron left Cleveland, they fell completely apart. Well, that spoke to the reason why he left Cleveland, because he had no help.
Right.
He had to carry the team by himself to 60 wins. But as I tweeted out, you know, people forget that the year after Jordan retired the first time, the Bulls won 55 games and had the Knicks on the ropes in the second round. So did that mean – and actually, I think they won about 55 games a year before with Jordan. So did that mean – Jordan wasn't quite as valuable as people thought? No, but I remember that topic came up. I don't know if you remember. People were, like, talking about that a little bit. Oh, maybe it shows that Jordan wasn't. It's like, no, Jordan was. It's just that the team was really good. It's the same thing here. This is a really good team. Plus, who have they beaten? They beat the number 8 seed. If you can't beat the number 8 seed without your best player, then you shouldn't be a 1 seed. That's one. Number 2, the team they're playing now shouldn't even be in the second round. They only got there because the team that played in the first round lost its 2 best players in game 3. So the fact that they won a game, a couple games in Houston or against Houston and a couple games against Portland does not have anything to do with the value of Stephen Curry, because I guarantee you this team would not win the championship without Curry.
I thought it was interesting because people have a tendency to, the season happens, they forget, they remember who won the championship. But that 94
right.
Bulls team, I mean, like you said, the Knicks would almost win the title, and they played them. The home team won every game. It went to game 7. And
right.
I just want, did you feel guilty about bringing up one of my worst memories and almost making me cry?
No, I did not, because I still think the Bulls got robbed at New York. And what game was it, 5?
Was that the Kukoc game?
No. The game that they called that ticky-tack.
Oh, right, the 3-pointer.
Was that game 5?
Yeah, it was, because, like I said, New York won games 1, 2, 5, and 7. Chicago won 3, and 4, and 6.
So the Bulls were right there to have a chance to win that series, and then they would have played in the end, in these finals, I think. I can't remember.
Yeah, no, because that was the semis. And, you know, had the Knicks lost to the Bulls that year, I might still be back east in a facility. So I can't make any promises.
Well, then I'm glad that they made that bad call. We wouldn't want that.
All right. So Tuesday night at Oracle, Portland led in the fourth quarter. Obviously, we saw Golden State just ran past them. But I don't know, as the postseason moves along, be it their lack of an inside game, the size of their guards, you know, how much more difficult is it for a team like the Blazers to just, you know, live and die with just shooting, especially as the level of competition increases?
Oh, it's impossible because they're not that great of shooters. even Lillard is not, you know, he shoots 42%. I think he shot 42% on the season. He's shooting about maybe 39% in the playoffs. And as Dan Sheldon on Talking Ball likes to always point out, it's about effective shooting percentage. And yes, I understand that, but it's not like Lillard shooting 48% from three or 45% even. I think he's right around 39. So he and McCollum are the best two shooters, and they're very, very streaky. And then the rest of the guys are good shooters sometimes when they're absolutely wide open, like completely wide open in full rhythm as if it were a shooting drill. Then they can make shots, and that's what they did in the first half. I mean, Aminu couldn't miss from deep, and that helped him big time in that first quarter. But then, you know, eventually, I mean, you're not going to shoot 60% the whole game at Oracle. And so their percentage came down, and eventually the Warriors' percentage went up. And in the fourth quarter, it all flipped when Golden State turned up the defensive intensity, and Portland had no answer for it other than a bunch of off-balance jump shots by McCollum and Lillard. And they had no one to go inside. And there's a couple times that Plumlee was in the paint attacking the basket and passed it. One time, he passed it off to another guy, like, underneath the basket. It's like, dude, you're the seven-footer. Like, don't give it to Harkless, or I think it was Harkless.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? Like, go over somebody. You have mad hops. You know, go to the rim hard and try and draw a foul or something. But he was giving it up. I think he finished 2 of 6. So, yeah, they have no interior presence at all. They have two legitimate scores and then a few guys who can hit wide-open shots. They have to be absolutely wide open. So, yeah, I mean, they are what they are. I told you this before. I'll be saying this forever. I'm still shocked they made the playoffs. They should not have won the last series. They're lucky to be where they are. And they should just, this is house money. My analogy is you go to Vegas, you play poker or craps, and you win $5,000, and you're all happy, and then the next day you go back and you lose $1,000 and you're pissed. It's like, dude, really? You're playing with house money. You're up $4,000. Be quiet.
Now, I picked it up in the middle as we continue with Aaron Fentress. Where did the conversation start? And like I said, I got about halfway where you got Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and how you're with me on this as well.
Yeah.
How his name doesn't surface when you're talking about the greatest, most accomplished players of all time, I don't understand.
Oh, someone I just tweeted out. There's a meme that's not there forever that shows their accomplishments side by side.
Yeah.
And they're clearly weighted towards Kareem. Now, Kareem played longer than Jordan, so the points and clearly he's going to have more rebounds. But he also has more assists, but that's a product of playing, you know, 20 years, whatever he played. But, you know, he has more MVPs. They have the same amount of titles. And then, of course, more college accolades as well. So it's just one of those things where it just says, hey, let's not act like this is a slam dunk. And I've always believed that. And I'm a Chicago guy, and I'm a Jordan guy, of course. But, man, Kareem was a phenom, but no one really talks about him like that. And I think it's, one, he wasn't that sexy. He was a skyhook. Like, no one does the skyhook.
Sure.
Like, if there are 35 players in the NBA doing the skyhook right now, then he would have more cachet, more street cred, because he'd be like, oh, yeah, they're doing the Kareem hook. It would be called the Kareem hook by now, right?
Right?
But no one does the signature shot he did, which I still can't believe that a seven-footer wouldn't decide, maybe I should try this skyhook thing. And the fact that he didn't play in the era of SportsCenter. Well, he did sort of touch SportsCenter a little bit, but not the glory years of SportsCenter, when SportsCenter really took off. And he didn't have his own shoe. He didn't have the funky commercials with Mars Blackman and the shoe endorsements and just being that kind of guy and making Space Jam. So the star notoriety of the two is vastly different, but you know, Kareem's impact on the game was just ginormous. He was literally unstoppable, all-time leading scorer, 6 MVPs and 6 titles, and he won 6 titles with 2 different teams. Put a gun to my head, I can make the argument for Jordan being more of an assassin. He had the ball in his hands where Kareem has to get the ball from someone else. Okay, maybe I could go with that. But I don't think it's a slam dunk at all that Jordan's just flat out the greatest ever, and Kareem is just wherever he is on the list. I think Kareem is right there with him.
Yeah, and it's also kind of ironic. People might be surprised. Kareem actually played his first NBA game in the 1960s because it was 69-70. And the one thing I pointed out that folks would be like, wow, think about that. MVP of the finals in the
85.
Middle of that whole battle with the Celtics with Bird and Magic at age 37 in 1985.
Yep.
It's freaking astonishing.
That was the first time the Lakers beat the Celtics.
Yep.
And they did it. Game 6 was in Boston Garden.
Yes. Yep.
And Kareem was phenomenal in that series. And that was a year after the disastrous 7-game series when everyone was all heartbroken because the Lakers blew it and Magic had a bad series, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, I mean, Kareem Crean was just phenomenal. And then, and he was no two-bit player on the 87-88 teams either. I mean, his scoring came down a little bit, but he was still a presence on those two teams that, that won back-to-back titles. The first time in, you know, 20 years someone had done that.
No, and, of course, as a New York fan back then rooting for crappy teams, our whole lives came down to hating the Celtics. So we, by proxy, we were huge Lakers fans. Oh, man, that's amazing. All right, now that we did a time warp, let's get to the spring game. The conversations we've had here about the quarterback play was Vernon Adams had the spectacular gene, but then after him, obviously, the caliber of player fell off a cliff. So this group, Prukop, Johnson, Wilson, maybe not great, but maybe more stable, if not outstanding. Is that in the neighborhood, you think?
Yeah, you know, Lubick said that he feels like, you know, they have the most depth at quarterback they've had in a long time. I'm sure a long time for him means since he's been there, which has been, you know, I think since Kelly left. So we're talking, what, 4 years?
Right.
You know, probably the best situation they've had in a long time since Harrington and Feely was Mariota Bennett. You know, Bennett got an NFL tryout, you know. So this group right here, you look at it and think, okay, we just don't know enough about Wilson yet to say he's not Damian Hobbs, who transferred. You know what I mean? We don't know. Now, I love the dreads, and he's got speed. He reminded me of RG3, straight up. You know,
right.
But he took off running. I'm like, that's RG3. Mainly because of the dreads, I guess. But he's got elite speed, you know, and people have talked about how in practice he flashes it. And that he's a guy who could rush for a ton of yards in this offense. But we don't know what he's going to be as a passer. And as far as Travis Johnson goes, I think he showed ability. This was a number two ready dual threat player in the nation a couple years ago, and he's got good height, good size, he's got speed himself, good arm, but we didn't see enough in the spring game that to lead you to believe he's going to be a star by 2017. He's certainly not going to compete with Dakota. Now, Dakota was interesting because he did not have a good spring game. Those two touchdown passes he threw him up for grabs. If you take those away, I think he was 18 for 27 for a buck 07. You know, he talked after the game about throwing a lot of dump-offs and, you know, just sort of running the offense. They weren't doing a lot of things, et cetera, et cetera. But his one of his touchdown passes, he would have been sacked on in a real game. Like, the defensive end jumped in the air and sort of held up, and Dakota threw it. So it was not a very good game from him. He didn't flash the talent that Mariota flashed in 2012. But you can go on YouTube and you can find his video and see he's a baller. Like, I firmly believe he's a baller. He's going to rush for 600 yards. He's a very good runner, way better than Vernon. I don't know if he's a better passer than Vernon because I've only seen him throw highlights and in the spring game, and I saw Vernon play games, and Vernon has a special gift for passing the football. But if Dakota's running game is much better than Vernon's, he's going to make up for whatever deficiencies he has there. So I think they're going to be solid at quarterback. I just didn't come away feeling like, oh, yeah, these guys are going to contend for the national championship and the Pac-12 is theirs to win. I felt like, you know, these guys are good, but I don't see anything great yet. But the jury's out. Like, I saw, and I keep making this point, I have to be fair, Dakota Prukop has probably put forth 1,800 reps, not 1,000 reps, and we saw 30 of them.
Right.
Right, in the spring, right? If he got 50 reps a day for 14 days, it's 700 plus, so 750 reps or so, we saw 30 of them. So it's completely unfair to judge him.
And it's May.
And that would be team reps. That would just be team reps, not 7-on-7, not 1-on-1, not individual. That's just team reps. We only saw 150th of them, whatever. I'm making up math now, but anyway.
I got you. I don't have a calculator with me, and it's over my head.
It's a lot.
All right, final thought, NFL draft. Obviously, we knew where DeForest Buckner was going to go, basically. Walker ended up getting drafted. Were you surprised?
To the Eagles. You know, Eagle fan was like, "Aw, are you kidding me?"
Yeah, well, there are probably some people in Philly who are like, "We got rid of Kelly, right? What's with all these ducks?"
That's what I'm saying. They end up with a duck in the draft anyway.
It's hysterical. So, were you surprised Adams didn't get his name called, or did you figure, maybe seventh free agency? And do you think he ever winds up seeing an NFL field?
I'm not surprised. I'm not shocked he wasn't drafted. I'm a little surprised because he got invited to the combine, and he did decently in that that All-Star game he was in. So if you do well in the All-Star game and you get invited to the combine, you have a pretty good chance of getting drafted. I'm super shocked that no one signed him as an undrafted rookie free agent. That is amazing to me. Like, no one said, we're going to sign this guy and give him a long look. So he's only getting a tryout, like a mini camp tryout with the Seahawks. That rarely ends up well for a quarterback.
Right.
Like, Darren Thomas went through that, I think, with Pittsburgh and Cleveland. But, you know, I've never really felt like Vernon had much of an NFL future. I think he's a CFL legend in the making. I talked to an NFL scout about him, you know, before the combine, and he called Vernon a 1AA Manziel.
Ooh.
meaning, you know, at the 1AA level, he was a Manziel type Heisman kind of guy with escapability and can make fantastic plays. But if he had to stay in the pocket, look out, and he didn't have much speed, which Manziel does not have great speed either. And that was his comparison. And the whole Russell Wilson thing, he thought was just a joke. That Russell Wilson's a way better athlete, built way better for the NFL, lower body strength.
Faster by a lot.
Faster, yeah, faster. Didn't act to make plays on the run. That Vernon can make him on the run, but he can't escape the way Wilson can.
Right.
Vernon will get sucked up in the NFL. Like, a linebacker will run him down. Look what happened with Manziel. Manziel leaves the pocket in college. He runs around for 5 minutes, makes the throw. Manziel left the college in the NFL. He got ran down right away. Like, it was over. You were done because the linebackers were faster than him. Same thing would happen to Vernon. So now you got an undersized quarterback who's not great on his first and second read, like timing-wise. And Oregon coaches talked about it all year. Like, Frost used to joke about how they'd be like, oh, attaboy. You know, like, no, attaboy. Because he wasn't always hitting the first obvious couple reads, and then he'd run around forever and make a great play. So you can't do that in the NFL, especially when you're not that fast. So I just think he's just up against it, but I think the CFL would be a great place for him.
Well, I actually had to block two guys because I went out there, and then I said, I don't see any chance Adams gets drafted or makes an NFL roster. I got hit with a couple of F-bombs by Duck fans, and I had to block them.
Wow. I had a month ago, some guy went off on me, saying he guarantees me Adams not only going to get drafted high, he's going to be a starter and lead a team to the playoffs. I disagree. So then you start calling me, you're just a small-time hack. What the hell do you know? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, this went off the cliff. So I didn't block him, though. I just muted him. But I can't remember who he was because I want to go back now and say I told you so. But I don't want to say that because I like Vernon. Like, I don't want to gloat over Vernon's failure. You know what I mean?
Well, my point was, hey, I've been wrong a million times. Hopefully I am here. So
everyone's been. I mean, my greatest retort to that kind of stuff is, Bill Walsh, the genius, loved Joe Montana, cultivated him, etc. You know who else he loved? Rick Meyer, in the story.
Next! And next. With that, we thank Aaron Fentress for his time. We wish his daughter a healthy and speedy recovery. And
thank you.
We will catch up with you next week.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Take it easy.